And in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, and at verse 46, the Lord Jesus said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." It had been a momentous day. The chapter begins with the picture of the women going very early in the morning on the first day of the week and finding that the Saviour was not there, the angels saying to them that the Lord was living. Why did they seek the living among the dead? And the living Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, appeared to his disciples, as we've read. And at the very end of the day, at the very end of the day, he spoke of the purpose for which he had come and died and was raised again on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. "Thus," he said, "it is written." If there was ever an encouragement to read the Bible, if there was ever an encouragement to think about it and seek to master it, if ever there was encouragement to look into many different parts, it was what happened to the people on the Emmaus Road. The Lord Jesus says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets, and the Psalms gets mentioned in another verse, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. Everything that the Lord Jesus came to do was foretold in the Old Testament. The whole history of the sin of mankind and of the anger of God at that sin is portrayed in the Bible, but throughout, the redemption that the Son of God would bring to sinful men and women is emphasized. It runs like a thread throughout the whole of scriptures. "Thus it is written," he said. He also says, "Thus it behoved Christ to suffer." Behoved means it is fitting, it is appropriate. If you like, you could say it was a good thing that he did. It was very appropriate for sinful mankind that he should suffer. Now, this wasn't what the Jewish people were looking for. They were looking for somebody who would lead them to conquer the Romans and give them a tremendous victory. If they'd searched the scriptures, particularly Isaiah 53, they would not have come to that conclusion. But they didn't, or they missed the point if that was the case. But Jesus says it behoved Christ to suffer. Without that suffering, there would have been no benefit to any of us here today and to any of those who've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, either since or before. Why was that so important? Every one of us has to come face to face with the Bible teaching. It begins with the greatness of God, begins with the perfect creation and goes on to see temptation of the devil and man's giving in to temptation. Eve first, and then Adam go along with it. Two separate sins. Adam particularly wanting to be committed to his wife, even though she'd done something wrong, and joined her in it so that they weren't separated in that way. The Bible begins there. And the Bible speaks that on that day, he cursed the earth. Ladies have great difficulty in childbirth for the most part. Those who work have to sweat. And if they're learning, they have to study. And that's very hard. The Lord cursed the earth. The Lord was that angry, I think we have to grasp it, with the sin that had happened, that he did something that would involve all mankind without exception ever since. They would find it hard, hard to procreate, hard to work, and in many other ways too. But on that day it was promised that there would be a saviour who would bruise the head of the evil one. We have all sinned in different ways. There are things that only our hearts know. What is known in the Bible is the plague of our own hearts. And no man intermeddleth with it. It's secret to us, but it is known to the Lord. And if we remain as we are as natural creatures, as we are born, without that cataclysmic change, so that we're delivered from that sinful nature, there is no eternal hope for any of us. But it was necessary, suitable, correct, it behoved Christ to suffer. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ took human flesh. God the Father planned with the second person of the Godhead that he would become a man, take perfect human flesh, be fully God, be fully man without mingling the natures, and that he would come to this world and he would live a life that no other man could ever live, a perfect life. And that perfect life entitled him to be the head of a new race. We were all under Adam. But those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are now under Christ. And on the cross, in his perfect body, he bore the anger of God, the wrath of God upon our personal sins. We are all personally involved. There is no escape from that involvement. But the Saviour on Calvary came to save his people from their sins. And a crucial part, of course, of that is the folks he's come to save are aware of their sins and hate their sins and turn to the Lord about their sins. He bore that punishment. And when the work was finished and he cried, "It is finished," the salvation, the pardon, the forgiveness of every one of those who believe in him happened. It was a mighty completed work that affected millions before and after. That the punishment of their sins, which was hanging over them, was finished for those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who turned to him. In consequence of the Father's pleasure, he rose from the dead. He triumphed over death. He triumphed over hell. He triumphed over temptation, over the evil one. And he is raised from the dead in his body, clearly recognizable, but not the same, because he could move quickly from place to place and pass through doors, as we see in the chapters at the end of each gospel. But it was a body. Christians believe in a bodily resurrection, because he said, "Behold my hands and my feet, and I'm not a spirit," in that sense that they were thinking. "I am a human body, transformed, made perfect." And every believer in Christ is what we call in Christ. And if he, our head and master and leader and Lord, is raised from the dead, so shall we be. The day is coming when we who believe in Christ shall be raised from the dead and enter into an eternal life of perfection. All that it will be capable for a renewed human body to do in new heavens and in new earth will be open to us in the presence of God. It behoved Christ to suffer. It means everything to those who believe. Without that death, there could be no resurrection for us, no future for us, no pardon for us. We may go, and our sins look rather different under the cross. That he should do so much and we should sin so lightheartedly does seem to be a base thing at the foot of the cross. But he is risen. He's risen indeed. That is to say, there's no doubt about it. It's a delight to our heart. For the load of our sins was laid upon him. And though we still sin and shall sin till we die, where there is true repentance, sin no longer masters us. It will appear. But we know that we shall be transformed. We've been born again. Our hearts have been changed. But our bodies shall be risen from the dead. And we shall be transformed. And we shall live with him forever. He rose on the third day. There will be a day, the day of judgment, the day when he comes again, when every believer whose body has been buried, everyone who believed in this churchyard and is buried here, will be raised from the dead, perfect, reconstituted, triumphant, loving the Lord Jesus Christ for that mighty thing he's done for them. But the Lord Jesus chose to express these things, that it is written, which is important that we read the Bible, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and there should be repentance. I always try to teach the children that to say sorry is not quite the same as being repentant. Sorrow in that sense is something that passes the next minute. Repentance is something that goes very deep and changes the heart and makes us grieve that we ever upset God by our sins. Repentance. The Lord did it. that we might repent of our sins, that we might not continue to lead sinful lives, though there will be sin attached at all times, and also because we live in this particular world. Thus it is written, thus it behoved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that we might repent of our sin, that we might see the enormity of our sin. What a wonderful plan it was that the Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting Son of God, should take human flesh. Wonderfully, the Holy Spirit has done to me great things, saith Mary. This was a unique, wonderful situation. When you meditate, that for God to go to all that bother, it is that we should repent. Surely we will humble ourselves and repent of our sins. But it was in order that repentance and remission of sins should be spoken of. I don't know. Sins can be more serious in some than in others. We don't go along with the Roman Catholic doctrine that there are venial sins, which means sins that automatically bring death, and others. Every sin will bring death. Disobey even one commandment once, and we've insulted God to his face. Of course, any sin. And for that very reason, the remission of sins is crucial. When the Lord sees a believer turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sins and put their trust in him, he counts that to him for righteousness. A wonderful expression. So important is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins that if anyone puts their trust, throws themselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ, looks at him, God blots out every other transgression. And it's called the imputation. So he did it for Abraham, he did it for David, and he did it for Eleazar, the high priest at the time. It's called the imputation of righteousness. It does help us to understand we are not yet perfect, but God sees that we belong to Christ. He is our head. No longer is Adam our head. We believe and we put all our trust in him. And seeing that that was God's, what God was aiming for, that Christ should come to bear the penalty of our sins, it so thrills the heart of God, if I may put it like that way, that we've repented, that he will in fact forgive, take everything into account. I don't know what happens in the legal system in this country these days, but when I was a boy, I used to read the courts day by day as I did my paper. And if you had a sin and you were being tried for it, you could ask them to take every other sin into consideration. Well, the word sin wasn't used, but you could say there was also this fault and this fault and this fault. And they would take it into consideration. And it was much more likely that the penalty for the sin you were being convicted of, the others added on, would hardly be noticeable. But if you bore the punishment of one sin, and then came out of jail, they could easily bring back the next one and the next one. So it was good to ask for them all to be forgiven in one lump and for them all to be added to the penalty. And this is what's happening here. The Lord forgives every sin, the remission of sins. Not every sin will we remember. Not every sin will we recall. Others will think of us in certain sins, in things that we don't consider to be sins. But God knows it all, and the remission of sins is to the human heart the greatest relief that could possibly be had. And we owe it all to the perfect life of Jesus, his suffering, and now we think of his resurrection, and of course his ascension to heaven. So the Lord said, it's written, and it was right for Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, so that repentance and remission of sins should be preached, and that it can only be had through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remission of sins, repentance should be preached in his name. It's a big battle that Christians have to fight in these days, and it always has been. Jesus says that there is none other name given under heaven, given to men, by which we may be saved. Muhammad can't save us. Buddha can't save us. None of the other false religions can save us. Humanism can't save us. Ancestor worship can't save us. Only Jesus, and we do have to grasp that. This is what the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, has ordained, that his dear Son, the second person of the Trinity from everlasting to everlasting, has been chosen to bear away the sins of the world, all over the world at different times, for those who believe in him. But only he can do that. We can't go looking for Eastern religions or meditation in particular or Hindu religion. None of these will help us. The one great characteristic of all other religions is that they teach, however subtly, that you need to do something to be saved. You need to bring them an offering, you need to do something, and you need to do that. Whereas the Lord Jesus teaches that salvation is a free gift. It's a free gift. It's what he has done, not what we do. What we do is in response to what he has done, but it is not to earn our salvation. I've seen children, the first Sunday school children I ever had, one of the saddest stories really, who would wanted to be loved by his parents, and he wasn't. And so he would spend his money to get things that he thought would please them. But it didn't turn their hearts. And he began to steal and to rob in order to buy more expensive things. Made no difference. You cannot buy love. Cannot buy affection. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, freely give the wonderful gifts of eternal life to those who come to him for the forgiveness of sins. But they do it in response to the call. Jesus has come. Come unto me, all ye who are labour and are heavy in heart, and I will give you rest, rest of soul. So the Lord suffered and rose from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. And this message is to be preached among all nations on the grounds that it is the only religion that works, if I put it like that. It is the only faithful, true religion. The Bible, which shows it, is the only true book. Those who said in days gone by, if it was the only book I had, it would be enough. It is indeed. But his name is to be preached among all nations, because there is not one single person anywhere in the world who has not sinned. And the same salvation is the only one that saves them. We seek to reach them. We seek that the message of the gospel shall go throughout the world, that those who repent will turn to the Father, leaving their sins behind, believing in him. And Jesus here adds, begin at Jerusalem. He set the way of beginning with the Jews, going out into the Samaritans, and then going into all the world. He set that as the order of doing things. But he says, go into all the world. It is appropriate that these things should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And of course, this is what the disciples were to do. Ye are the witnesses of these things. Jesus' prayer before he suffered, his high priestly prayer, was that those who believe on the apostles and their teaching down through all the years, that they should be in no ways disadvantaged, that this same gospel should be preached. And he prayed that all who turned to him down all the years should be one with them in believing and turning and repenting. Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We are those 1,000, 2,000 years down the line, but we need our remission of sins. We may only find it in Christ. We may bring our hearts to him. We may repent in our hearts, and he will take us up. None who ever came to him was turned away. And this is the message of resurrection. It is the message of Easter. It has to do with the now, and it has to do with the eternal future, even as it was the now with Christ who suffered, and with the eternity of being with him, because he is there in the glory. May we love the Easter message. May we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.